In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Our Lady, Seat of Wisdom, St. Joseph, our patron saints and guardian angels, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. We are celebrating a votive Mass today on Saturday in honor of Our Lady, and it is a tradition that goes way back in the early history of the church to celebrate and to honor in a special way Our Lady on Saturday. Do you know why we honor her on Saturday in a special way? Because Saturday was a day in which Our Lady, back on that first Holy Saturday after Our Lord was crucified, Our Lady was the only one who believed that Jesus would rise from the dead. You might say on that Holy Saturday, between Good Friday and Easter Sunday, the only one who had any faith, Christian faith, believing that our Lord's words would be fulfilled, as the prophecy was said about Our Lady, blessed are you who believe that the Lord's words would be fulfilled. Our Lady was the only one who believed. And so the faith of the church on that first Holy Saturday was the faith of Our Lady. You might say that the reason why every one of us has faith is because Our Lady exercised it on that first Holy Saturday in a far excellent way. We know that faith is that virtue which, you know, our Lord didn't have the gift of faith because our Lord was God. He didn't have to have faith. He knew he was God. But anybody else who was to believe in Jesus had to have the gift of faith, had to believe that what he said and who he said he was, they had to make an assent of belief. They had to say, well, he's given me evidence, and I believe what he has said and believe what he has done. He has shown me by fulfilling of the prophecies, by his miracles, by the sound teaching that he gave, that he is who he claims to be, the Son of God. And of course, his impeccable and without fault nature was other evidence that he gave that he was the Son of God. And Our Lady, of course, being his mother, had a very unique perspective in that he grew up with her. She, of course, gave birth to him. So she was his unique and most perfect disciple. And on that first Holy Saturday, while everybody else had lost hope and faith, you know, the disciples were greatly, and the apostles, Peter, James, and John, were all pretty much depressed. You know, they thought that what Jesus was about had all been destroyed on that Good Friday. When they put him in the tomb, they felt that their hopes and dreams about what Jesus had promised was for naught. But one person believed when our Lord told his apostles many times when he was preaching, he said, the Son of Man must suffer, be treated terribly, you know, and finally be crucified and die and rise again on the third day. And remember what it says in Scripture, that the apostles said, what does he mean by resurrection from the dead? They couldn't understand because no one had ever done that before. And so it was a mystery to them. And even when our Lord prophesied his suffering and death, remember, Peter said, far be it, Lord, that you should suffer. And our Lord said, get behind me, Satan. So the whole mission of our Lord, his passion, his death, and his resurrection, was not fully and completely understood by his disciples, and especially the apostles. So Our Lady's faith was the faith that sustained the church on that first Holy Saturday. You know, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb to see Jesus' body and to anoint it. But Our Lady didn't go to the tomb because she knew he wouldn't be there. She maintained her belief that what her son said he would do. And our Lord prepared her in a very In a very mysterious way, already when he was 12 years old, he prepared her for this day when he would be in the tomb on Holy Saturday. And what was it that he did to prepare her? Remember that when Our Lady and Saint Joseph went with our Lord to the temple to make their pilgrimage to Jerusalem, that he stayed behind in the temple. And they departed, Joseph thinking that our Lord was with Our Lady, and Our Lady thought that our Lord was with Saint Joseph, and then they found out that he was gone. They had lost him. And so they returned back to Jerusalem, and you remember, they searched for him, and on the third day, they found him in the temple. And Our Lady said to our Lord, "Why have you done this to your father and I? We have been searching for you frantically or with anguish." And our Lord said some various mysterious words. He said, "Why did you go looking for me? Did you not know I would be in my father's house or doing my father's business?" is the translation you usually find. And it said that Our Lady pondered these words in her heart from that day on. Pondered it. What did he mean? Why did you go looking for me? Did you not know I would be in my father's house? Well, because 21 years later, when he was crucified and placed in the tomb, Our Lady understood that even though all these terrible things that took place, she watched her son die horribly on the cross, and had the anguish of having to put him into the tomb after dressing him and preparing him for burial, that she did not have to go to searching for him or go look for him in the tomb, because he was about doing his father's business. He would be in his father's house doing what his father asked him to do, which is redeeming his people. So Our Lady didn't go looking for him, because she knew with confidence, that confidence that comes with that kind of faith that only can be had by someone like Our Lady, the Mother of God, she had that confidence and faith that he wouldn't be there in the tomb, because he would be doing his father's work. He would be in his father's house. And it is a tradition of the church, one that even Saint John Paul II spoke about and affirmed as Pope in an audience, but is also in one of the rosaries Our Lady has. You know, Our Lady's like a typical woman. She has a big wardrobe, and she has lots of different rosaries. She has the seven sorrows. She has the seven joys. She has the seven glories. She has the 20 mysteries of the regular rosary. She has all kinds of chaplets. You know, she has quite a big wardrobe of spiritual tools that she likes to use. And one of them is the seven joys. And one of the mysteries in the seven joys of Our Lady is that our Lord's resurrection and appearance to his mother after his resurrection. That she is the first one to receive that news of her resurrection. Saint Mary Magdalene is the first of those who are redeemed by our Lord, in that of the poor sinners, she is the first one to receive that message after Our Lady. But it is the tradition of the church that who else should receive the news first of our Lord's resurrection than she who believed above everybody else that he would rise from the dead. And of course, she who participated in a unique way at the foot of the cross in helping to redeem us. She is the one who was gifted with that grace to have the first news of our Lord's resurrection. So today we celebrate Our Lady on this Saturday, and we honor her, we venerate her for her great faith, because she believed. And as Catholics, and I would encourage you, young people especially, to have great devotion to Our Lady. You know, we talked yesterday about the Mass and the Eucharist. Well, there are two pillars in the church. The great vision that Don Bosco, St. John Bosco, had of the church being a ship being attacked, and he saw the Pope on a ship that was surrounded by other ships that were shooting at his ship, and it was in danger of sinking. And in his vision, he saw the Pope guide the bark of Peter, the church, between two pillars in the middle of the ocean. One pillar was the Eucharist, the host, and on the other pillar was Our Lady. And in between those two pillars, the ship was safe, and all the enemies of the church were defeated. And in that vision, St. John Bosco understood that if the church is going to remain afloat and defeat all of its enemies, we always have to have as central in our life and in our devotion, Jesus and Mary. Jesus in the Holy Eucharist, receive him frequently, receive him in the state of grace, be close to our Lord by going to Mass on a regular basis, and have great devotion to the Mother of God, to pray the Rosary, to pray the Rosary every day as Our Lady asked at Fatima, to wear her sacramentals, whether they be the scapular of Our Lady, the miraculous medal, to wear her Rosary. You know, it says in the blessing of the Rosary that even if you wear it or carry it on your person, you receive a grace. Of course, you should pray it too, but to carry it on your person even gives you grace. And so that's why I encourage you to truly make your devotion to Our Lady true devotion, not a false devotion, not one that just with the words, but truly take her into your home and make your life centered on her. For that is what our Lord did as his last dying act was said to Our Lady, "Woman, behold your son," and to John, his beloved disciple, "Behold your mother." Notice that he took and placed first John in the care of Our Lady. He gave us all to his mother in John. And then he said, "Son, behold your mother." And like the good disciple that he was, John understood that he was to take Our Lady into his home because she would help him to fulfill what our Lord had done on the cross for him. And that is that Our Lady would help him to become like Christ and him crucified, to be like Christ in all things. This is the job that Our Lady has. Just as she clothed our Lord in his human nature by becoming his mother, so spiritually, she is our spiritual mother who clothes us, you might say, informs us into Christ. Some people call Our Lady a matrix. You know what a matrix is? It's a mold. You pour some kind of stuff into it, and it comes out whatever shape it wants to make. You might say you pour one of us into Our Lady, you take her into your home, and out comes Jesus. She forms us and makes us like Christ. So we need that. We need Our Lady for that, because our Lord realizes he told us, take her. It's like a command. Ecce, behold, take her into your home. So as you've been here to Our Lady's special place here at the retreat center, I would encourage you that if you leave here today and you don't take her with you, your visit has not been fruitful. But I'm sure and I hope that the short time that you've been here, I'm confident that Our Lady has been reaching out and giving you graces to draw you closer to her and to her Son. And I just ask you to please be open to that grace, respond to that. Our Lady will give you a little hint here and there. You know, you'll be in the middle of your activities and you'll be inspired, oh, maybe I should say a prayer to Our Lady, or maybe I should pray her rosary, or maybe I should put on her scapular, or take and put on a miraculous medal. All these little hints are from your mother, trying to bring you closer to her so that she can bring you closer to her Son. Let us pray in a special way today and ask Our Lady and thank Our Lady for all the graces that you have received while you've been here at the retreat center. You came here to do us a service, and we are very thankful for it. But I think that, like our Lord and our Lady, they can never be outdone in generosity. And so I'm sure that they are giving you more than you have given to her and to her son. And so I ask you to please be open, and let us pray in a special way to Our Lady in thanksgiving for all that she has done. Let us pray. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.